Welcome to today's deep dive. So imagine for a second that you just signed off on a massive, six-figure check for this shiny new enterprise marketing platform.
Oh, yeah, the dream scenario. You
Yeah.
get it all integrated, the dashboards look incredible.
Right. And you just sit back, kick your feet up, and wait for the revenue to roll in.
Which is what everyone expects.
Exactly. But then, say, 6 months later, not only are your sales completely flat, but you realize the system is actually actively driving your best prospects away.
Yeah, it's honestly a terrifying scenario, but I mean, it happens every single day.
It really does. Companies hit this growth plateau, and they just assume that buying expensive software is going to magically fix their strategy.
Right, but it doesn't fix anything. It
Yeah.
basically just acts as an accelerant for whatever is already broken.
An accelerant for the chaos.
Exactly. Like, if you have a flawed communication strategy, and then you just drop this highly complex engine like Marketo or HubSpot or Salesforce into the mix, it just scales that chaos.
So you're just blasting out the wrong message at the speed of light.
Precisely. Because marketing automation isn't just an IT upgrade, it's a fundamental rewiring of how a business interacts with its market.
Which is no small thing.
Not at all. Pulling off that kind of architectural shift requires this really specific type of systems thinking. And, most internal marketing teams simply aren't trained for that.
Which brings us perfectly to our mission for today's deep dive. We are unpacking the actual mechanics behind marketing automation consulting services.
Yeah, getting under the hood.
Exactly. And our baseline for this is a fantastic, comprehensive guide published by Reach Marketing. It was updated in April 2026.
It's a great resource.
It really is. It lays out exactly how businesses are using specialized consultants to basically stop the bleeding and build predictable, scalable growth engine.
But, before we get into the actual repair work, I think we have to look at the wreckage first.
Oh, absolutely. The wreckage is the best part.
Right. Like, why do these massive, sophisticated systems fail so frequently right after they're deployed? The margin for error is just razor thin.
Wait, yeah, the guide talks about something called shelfware syndrome, which I think you see in consumer fitness all the time.
Oh, the treadmill analogy.
Yes, someone decides, I'm going to run a marathon, so they go out and buy a $3,000 smart treadmill.
The one with the massive interactive screens and the biometric tracking.
Exactly. But
Yeah.
they don't actually know anything about pacing or heart rate zones or like recovery days.
What happens?
So the treadmill just sits in the corner of the bedroom, draped in dirty laundry. It just becomes the world's most expensive coat rack.
It's so true. And businesses do the exact same thing with software.
Just on a much larger, more expensive scale.
Way more expensive. They procure this top-tier platform tailored for complex, multi-touch enterprise sales. But, and here's the kicker, their actual business model is highly transactional.
Oh, wow. So they've bought an architecture that completely contradicts their actual sales cycle.
Right. So they might use like 5% of the platform's capabilities, maybe just the basic batch and blast email feature.
Which is a huge waste of money.
It is. But honestly, the real structural damage comes from misconfiguration.
How so?
Well, if the data schema in your marketing platform isn't mapped perfectly to the fields in your CRM, you are basically building on a fractured foundation.
So the systems aren't talking to each other correctly.
Exactly. Data syncs fail, leads literally vanish into a black hole,
Yeah.
and your ROI just drops straight to zero.
But, the research points out an even more active threat than just underutilizing the tool. It highlights, and this is a quote, "overmarketing to prospects as a critical failure point."
Yes, that's a big one.
And I kind of struggle with this one because if you invest in all this automation, isn't the entire goal to amplify your reach?
Well, yes and no.
Like, if I suddenly have a digital megaphone, why wouldn't I use it to get my message in front of as many eyes as possible?
Because a megaphone implies you're speaking to a crowd where everyone hears the exact same message simultaneously.
Okay, fair.
But indiscriminate marketing automation, it's more like a megaphone that follows an individual prospect home and just shouts generic pitches at them while they're eating dinner.
Oh, man. That sounds incredibly annoying.
It's highly intrusive because it completely lacks context.
Right.
If you set up these automated workflows that just blast the same promotional email to an entire database without factoring in their actual behavior, what they're interested in, you aren't really
We're
marketing.
just generating noise.
Exactly, you're generating noise.
But hear me out. If it's fully automated, doesn't the sheer volume eventually win out? Like, even if it annoys a few people, surely hitting tens of thousands of inboxes yields a net positive in conversions, right?
You'd think so, but no, it actually creates a catastrophic, compounding negative effect on your whole infrastructure.
Wait, really? How does that work?
Because when prospects receive daily emails that have absolutely nothing to do with their specific pain points, they don't just ignore you, they actively hit the spam button.
Right. The dreaded spam button.
And when enough people do that, internet service providers like Google and Microsoft, they notice
They track that sort of thing.
very closely.
Yeah.
Your domain sender reputation drops at the server level. So suddenly your emails aren't even reaching the inbox anymore.
They're just being routed straight to the junk folder.
Exactly. You literally burn through
Yeah.
your total addressable market. And this is exactly why specialized consultants are brought in.
To basically halt this indiscriminate blasting.
Right. They step in and replace all that noise with the behavioral triggers.
What does that look like in practice?
So say a prospect visits your pricing page 3 times in a single week. That specific action triggers a highly relevant, localized nurture sequence, right?
Okay, making it actually useful to them.
Yes. And at the same time, the system automatically suppresses the generic weekly newsletter for that person.
Because they're already highly engaged, you don't want to distract them with fluff. So if a company is already stuck in that downward spiral, you know, they're burning leads, tanking their domain reputation, basically sitting on an expensive digital coat rack, how does a consulting firm actually pull them out of the nosedive?
Well, it starts with a forensic audit.
Sounds intense.
It is. I mean, good consultants don't just log in and start blindly toggling settings. They map out the entire data architecture to find the specific fail points.
So they're looking at how everything connects.
Exactly. They look at the API calls between the marketing platform and the CRM to see where the data is bottlenecking.
And what if the platform itself is just the wrong fit, like the treadmill analogy?
If the platform is fundamentally wrong for the business, they actually manage the procurement of a whole new system.
Oh, wow. So they handle the entire transition.
Yep. They build out the business case, they handle the vendor negotiations, everything. And then they manage the setup, the launch, and the bi-directional sync with systems like Salesforce.
Ensuring all that lead intelligence flows seamlessly to the sales team. You know, the technical transition part of this is fascinating to me, especially what the guide refers to as platform ports and rebuilds.
Yeah, that's a massive undertaking.
Right. It kind of sounds like just moving data from a legacy system over to a new one, like digital moving. But if the old data is already full of errors, aren't you just like migrating your problems to a new house?
Yes, exactly. Think about translating a complex novel into a new language.
Okay.
If you just use an automated translation tool to lift and shift the words, the idioms make no sense, the grammar is totally broken, and the plot just falls apart.
Right, it reads like gibberish.
So a platform port requires essentially a localized editor. If you move from Pardot to HubSpot, a consultant doesn't just copy and paste the data, they normalize it.
Normalize it. What does that mean exactly?
It means standardizing inconsistent inputs. So, for example, making sure NY, New York, and NYORK are all mapped to one single cohesive state value.
Ah, so the new platform's routing rules actually fire correctly.
Exactly. They redesign the architecture so the new system operates cleanly from day one.
That makes a lot of sense. But what happens when a company's internal architect, like the person who built all this original complex logic, just abruptly quits?
Oh, that is a nightmare scenario.
I can imagine. There's probably this labyrinth of if-then statements operating in the background. If nobody else understands how the engine is wired, couldn't the whole thing just crash during a major product launch?
It absolutely could.
Right.
That's a massive vulnerability. And in the industry, it's known as a loss of tribal knowledge.
Tribal knowledge. I like that term.
Yeah. And this is where a service called temporary staff augmentation becomes super critical.
So they just parachute someone in?
Literally. The consulting firm drops in a senior expert to immediately stabilize the system. They audit all those undocumented workflows, map the logic trees, and just keep the daily campaigns running.
Just keeping the lights on.
Right. But more importantly, they meticulously document every single process.
So the next person isn't totally lost.
Exactly. So when the company eventually hires a full-time replacement, that new person isn't walking into a digital minefield. They inherit a fully transparent, sustainable playbook.
Okay, so we've mapped out all the foundational plumbing. Let's shift gears and look at the strategic applications, because the guide shows capabilities that go way beyond just simple B2B lead generation.
Oh, way beyond. The strategic side is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, and one specific application really caught me off guard. It was using marketing automation to drive executive thought leadership and influencer and analyst relations.
That's a really powerful use case.
But wait, building relationships with industry analysts at firms like, say, Gartner or Forrester, that is a high-touch, deeply human endeavor.
Absolutely. It's very relationship-driven.
So automating an email to a top-tier analyst, that feels incredibly cheap. Wouldn't an analyst spot an automated template in like a second and just hit delete?
Oh, they absolutely would. They'd spot it instantly.
Right. So doesn't that defeat the whole purpose?
It would, if we were automating the conversation itself. But we aren't automating the handshake. We are automating the radar.
Oh, okay. I like that distinction. Automating the radar.
Yeah, the human connection remains completely central. The software just manages all the complex behavioral tracking surrounding that connection.
How does that actually work, mechanically speaking?
Okay, let's say an analyst at Forrester is researching a specific niche. We use the platform's reverse IP lookup and behavioral tracking.
Okay.
So when that specific analyst visits your executive's blog post, or maybe downloads a technical white paper, the system detects their domain.
And it knows who they are.
Right. And it instantly bumps their lead score and triggers an internal Slack alert directly to your executive's phone.
Oh, wow. So the executive gets a message like, hey, this analyst is looking at your stuff right now.
Exactly. It says, Analyst X just spent 4 minutes reading your latest research. And then it queues up a highly personalized task in the CRM for the executive to reach out manually.
Manually. So the human touch is still there.
Exactly. The automation gathers the intelligence, prioritizes the target, and prompts the human action at the exact moment of highest intent.
That completely flips the script. It's basically doing all the administrative surveillance so the human can be hyper-relevant.
Exactly. And that same exact logic applies to how this empowers field marketing reps, too.
Right. Because historically, field sales involved a lot of just, you know, blind outreach.
So much guessing.
Mm.
But now, because of this tight alignment between the automation platform and the CRM, a rep walking into a meeting can pull up their tablet and see a real-time, data-driven map of the prospect's intent.
That is a massive advantage.
It's the ultimate advantage. The platform tells them precisely which product pages the prospect lingered on, which webinars they attended, even which emails they forwarded to their boss.
So the rep can tailor their entire conversation based on verified digital body language.
Yes, rather than just guessing what the prospect actually cares about.
And, you know, when you scale that up to account-based marketing or ABM, it gets even more powerful.
Oh, ABM is where these platforms really shine.
Right, because instead of waiting for individual leads to trickle in, you are targeting entire high-value accounts.
Exactly. The system can aggregate the behavioral data of, say, 10 different stakeholders at a single target company.
And then alert the sales team when the account as a whole is showing buying signals.
Yep. But I should mention, managing data at that kind of massive scale introduces some pretty major regulatory risks.
Oh, sure. Which is another area where the software's underlying mechanics are super vital, like GDPR compliance in Europe.
Exactly. GDPR is a perfect example.
Because managing something like the right to be forgotten manually, I mean, that seems impossible if you have hundreds of thousands of contacts spread across dozens of different campaigns.
It literally is impossible. If an EU resident requests their data be deleted, you cannot rely on some marketing assistant just checking a spreadsheet.
Right. There's way too much room for human error.
Way too much. So the automation platform uses cascading deletion rules. It applies a hard-coded digital tag to that individual's global profile.
What happens if someone tries to email them later?
That's the beauty of it. If a well-meaning sales rep tries to queue up an email to that person 3 months later, the system physically interrupts the API call.
Oh, it actually blocks it.
It blocks the send button entirely and suppresses the record across every single integrated platform simultaneously.
So it completely removes the human error element from regulatory compliance.
Exactly. It has to.
Well, if the stakes are this high and the underlying mechanics are this incredibly complex, picking the right guide to implement all of this has to be the single most important decision a company can make.
It is make or break, without a doubt.
So when a business is vetting these consultants, what are the specific, like, non-negotiable criteria they need to be evaluating?
Well, mastery of the platforms is obviously the baseline.
Right. They have to know the software.
Yeah. You need a team with deep technical proficiency in whatever specific tool you're using, whether that's Marketo, HubSpot, Pardot, whatever.
What else?
Beyond that, you absolutely must look for expertise in multi-channel campaign execution.
Because the modern buyer's journey isn't just a straight line anymore.
Exactly. It's totally non-linear. A consultant has to understand how to harmonize data so that, say, a prospect's interaction with an email seamlessly informs the retargeting ads they see later on LinkedIn.
Which then dictates the dynamic content they experience when they eventually visit the website.
You got it. It all has to be connected.
The guide also talks about a specific philosophy to look for during this hiring process. It says you should find a partner who focuses on enhancement, not adaptation.
I love that concept.
Me too. It made me think about taking your car to a mechanic because the engine keeps stalling, right?
Okay, yeah.
If the mechanic just plugs in a diagnostic scanner, clears the error code, and turns off the check engine light, that's adaptation.
They made the symptom go away, but the actual flaw is still there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want the mechanic who rewires the ignition timing, recalibrates the fuel injection, and actually tunes the engine so it performs better than it did out of the factory.
That is a perfect analogy, and it translates directly to data architecture.
How so?
Well, if a sync fails between platforms, an adaptation consultant will just manually hit the resync button every Friday.
Just putting a Band-Aid on it.
Right. But an enhancement consultant, they will rewrite the actual API payload so it automatically handles null values and prevents the error from ever occurring again in the first place.
Oh, that's smart. Fixing the root cause.
Exactly. They actively build sophisticated degradation models, too.
Degradation models? What's that?
So, for example, programming a lead score to automatically decay if they haven't interacted with your content in, say, 90 days.
So your sales team isn't calling people who went cold 3 months ago.
Precisely. It ensures they are only ever calling hot leads.
It's really engineering, not just marketing.
It is 100% engineering.
And it all circles back to the only metric that actually matters to leadership at the end of the day. Tangible revenue.
Results-oriented ROI delivery. That's the gold standard.
So you need proof.
Oh, absolutely. When you vet a consulting agency, you don't just ask to look at some abstract workflow diagrams. You demand historical data.
You want to see the receipts.
Yes. You evaluate them on their actual ability to deliver quantifiable pipeline growth. You test their strategic insight by presenting a live problem your business is facing right now and having them architect a solution on the whiteboard.
And bringing it back to our baseline research, the reach marketing methodology really serves as a prime industry benchmark here.
They definitely practice what they preach.
They do. They aren't just theoretically discussing data normalization. They actually have a tracked history of generating over 1.1 million top, middle, and bottom funnel leads across their campaigns.
That's massive volume.
It is. And that is exactly the kind of verified structural capability a business needs to demand from a partner.
Otherwise, you just end up with an incredibly expensive piece of shelfware.
Yep. The expensive coat rack.
Exactly. Look, the transition from a chaotic manual process to a perfectly tuned automated revenue engine, It isn't instantaneous.
No, it takes time.
It requires immense operational discipline. But when you finally lock in the right architecture and you align the sales and marketing data models and you deploy that behavioral tracking at scale,
everything changes.
It really does. Yeah. The business moves from guessing about revenue to actually predicting it.
Which is the dream. And it leaves us with a really fascinating paradox to consider as we wrap up today's deep dive.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we've just explored the extreme depths of optimizing and automating this digital machine. We know how to deploy reverse IP lookups and cascading compliance rules and behavioral degradation models to deliver this hyper-personalized messaging at massive scale.
Right. It's incredible technology.
It is. But if every single company eventually hires expert consultants and every single business achieves this baseline of flawless data-driven automation, How do you stand out?
Wow, that's a great question.
Right. In a future where perfectly timed digital precision is just the standard entry fee, will the messy, unautomated, highly inefficient human touch actually become the ultimate luxury differentiator?
That is. Yeah, that's really something to think about.
Something to mull over the next time you're setting up a workflow. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.